Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome back to the Friends on 15th podcast, coming to you from the Friends Center located at 15th and Cherry Streets, downtown Philadelphia. I am your host, Jennifer Lee, and of course, I'm joined here today by your favorite co-host on the planet, Miss Shakira Shakira.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. She is our events coordinator and admin manager. And of course, we have the executive director of Friends Center here, Chris Moore.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Chris. How are you guys?
Doing good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I'm so glad. It feels like the first week, though, that I've been here all week. Like a full 5 days. Yes. Maybe just for me.
Okay, well. not
right, coming up the holidays. And
early
stuff.
In the year, yep.
Yeah. Today is January 17th, 2020. Happy New Year's, guys.
Happy New Decade.
Yeah, Happy New Decade. I think this is the first podcast we've done since the new decade. So the holidays are over, the Christmas trees are all packed up, and the New Year resolutions are in full effect. Well, I feel like they're in full effect.
It's crazy because I really haven't heard too many. Mm-hmm. Like, normally it's like on social media, everybody is like, New Year, new me.
New Year, new me.
And I really haven't heard too much. The most I've been hearing is people like, please don't hit me with the New Year, new me. So...
Right.
But, you know, it's good to start the new year with a good mind and, you know, some goals that you want to reach.
Do your best.
I saw a hilarious meme. It was like a person with like the Michael Myers mask on. It was like New Year, old me. And then they pulled the mask off and it's the same exact mask.
Oh, boy.
Like, I'm still the old me. Do you guys make New Year resolutions?
Not really, but I do make goals.
Okay.
For the, I don't want to say the new year, but I think about the goals that I made last year, and I don't know, like, if I reached them or if I didn't, but then I try to, like, retract and, you know, see what I can do better for the new year. It just feels like a new start, just like Monday feels like a new start.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, a chance to get up and do something.
Yeah. Chris?
Not so much.
Yeah. I'm not really a New Year resolution type of person. I think I am like, you know, let me just realign my goals, see what's new. We made a plan with our family, my husband and I, and the children. We're going to do vision boards. So we're going to have like a little party. I've been collecting magazines and papers and stuff. Nice. So I want to do that to kind of have it be not just, you know, goals in our mind, but to get it out, write it down, you know, have something visual that we can see and kind of focus on as the days go by to help us, you know, maintain that same enthusiasm that we have, you know, and, oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. And then, you know, you find yourself eating cookies and ice cream, you know, a few weeks down the line.
I don't think it's a bad thing, though, you know, to have a goal in the new year.
Yeah.
And even if you don't stick to it, at least you're thinking about stuff that you can do.
So. Yeah. That's true. Well, I hate that it's super cold outside.
It's freezing.
I'm just a little jealous because last weekend it was like in the 60s.
I hate that, though. Like, it's winter. I need it to be consistently cold so that the spring can come. And I can wear my jean jacket consistently, right?
That's climate chaos for you.
Yeah.
Climate control. What is it?
Climate change.
Climate change isn't real, Chris. You know, that's what they say.
Yeah, well, we had an event here recently with climate scientists giving fact-based talk about that. Apparently, it's quite well attended here at Friends Center.
Yeah. What's going on in Philly? Oh, Benjamin Franklin's birthday. They're having like this big celebration at the Franklin Institute. So
this weekend.
Yep. So they'll have like all these activities, hands-on programming, science demos. You can see artifacts from their collection. So if you guys are looking for something to do, there you go.
And is it free?
Happy D-Day, Ben.
I don't know if it's free. It's probably not. I didn't see that it was advertised as free. They were just like, come and have fun at a fee.
And don't forget about MLK Day. It's MLK Weekend. Monday is the service day, so get out there. Google a few places that you can go volunteer at, and just get out there and have a day of service.
Friends Select will be here.
Friends Select School and Central Philadelphia Friends Meeting are collaborating on a day of action here at Friends Center, and the focus is going to be homelessness, what folks can do, what families, kids, and parents can do.
Very nice. As usual, we have some amazing guests here today to interview for your listening pleasure. I've been able to get to know these ladies quite well over the years here, and I really enjoy seeing the happy faces that they put on the children. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Ms. Rachel O'Neill Coates, who is the director of Friends Child Care Center.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Good morning,
Rachel. Good morning, Rachel.
And she is joined here today by Ms. Cordella Young, who is the lead teacher of the quads.
Good morning, Jennifer.
And she always says it with such pride, come on, quads.
Hey, Cordella.
Good morning.
She has her best Mrs. Frizzle voice when she's speaking to the children.
Yes, they always look so happy and
engaged.
They
are always so happy, especially in the morning when they come in and get those
animal crackers. It may not be the animal crackers that makes them really happy. Rachel, how long have you been the director of Friends Child Care Center?
I've been employed at Friends Child Care Center. This is my 29th year.
Wow.
And I've been the director. I know, I was just a baby. And I've been the director for about 15 of those years now.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So my life there.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the Friends Child Care Center and what you guys do?
Oh, sure. So the Child Care Center was started back in 1978. It was a few Quaker organizations that saw the need for on-site care. And so they started a small sort of playgroup. There were about 10 children in one classroom. We've grown a lot over the years due to the demand within the building, and also they had a tremendous demand from the general community, and they wanted to sort of share the love, and they began to expand. And so now we went from that 10 children playgroup to servicing about 88 children a day.
Nice.
You know, 88 children a day, and we've added on a summer camp program that operates out of Friends Select School during the summertime.
Now, it's Friends Child Care Center. So do you have to be a friend? Do you have to be a Quaker in order for your child to be enrolled in the program?
Absolutely not. And that's the beauty of what we do and part of our mission, because we want to share our friendship. We didn't want to be exclusive and only to the Quaker community. And also, we see that there is a need to for people to know more about Quakerism and Quaker values, especially in troubling times like we have now, where there's not enough emphasis on peace, socialization, getting to know one another, and caring enough to be a part of communities and helpful.
Can you tell us a little bit about how Quakerism and its values are tied into the Child Care Center and your curriculum and what you guys do?
That's a very good question, because oftentimes people who tour, they assume that there may be some religious teaching in the program. And so we like to dispel that myth that children come here and it's sort of like a Sunday worship and we're teaching scriptures and things like that. Our Quakerism and our Quaker values is shown in how we interact with one another. The emphasis, as I said, that we put on socialization, learning to get along, diversity, inclusion,
nice.
The practices that we have and how we set up our classrooms in a way that everybody's included, no matter what your skill level, no matter what background, what neighborhood you come from, the experience, we want it to be the same for everyone.
And how do you see that, how do you see Cordella, I'm speaking to Cordella, how do you see that coming through in the children? Do you, like, how can you recognize that they're picking up on those things?
Well, just this month, we're talking about the season and how animals and people, you know, survive the winter. And some children were talking about seeing homeless people outside and how, for example, one child in particular said she saw one of the homeless person eating out of the trash can. So we started talking a little bit about that and talking about how, you know, some people don't have, and, you know, we as a community, we can help in a way, you know, if you want, you can probably share some of your lunch with someone. And they started building on that. And we've been talking about Dr. Martin Luther King's dream, about not so much, you know, looking at skin color, but talking about how people are, their character. And that's been a big thing right now because they're all talking about how to resolve conflicts peacefully. And right now you will see them, they have a conflict and they'll take each other, come go with me to the kitchen, come go with me to the back room, and they're trying to resolve whatever issues they have. Then they'll come back and tell me, you know, we've resolved a conflict. So teaching peace, teaching how to resolve conflicts, and that's all part of Quakerism.
And you know what, Cordella, yesterday I meant to tell you, so Cordella came up to the office with a small group of her quad friends, and while she was in doing the errand that she was running, a little conflict erupted, and it was verbal conflict between two peers. And so one of the children reported to Cordella, you know, what was going on and what they didn't like. And it was very emotional for the child and for both children that were involved in this conflict. Cordella did an amazing job. She just listened. There was no judgment about the conflict, and she didn't interject her own feelings about it. So the reporter got their story out, and then Cordella looked at the other child involved, and they were able to tell their story. And it was funny because the conflict wasn't resolved even at that point. They were still feeling pretty emotional about it, and Cordella just took a breath and said, well, I think we should go back to our classroom and continue this discussion. She didn't do the quick, you were wrong, you need to apologize, and that kind of thing, that shaming kind of thing. I love the way that she listened to both children because they both had a point of view and a side about it. They both felt passionately that the other did the other wrong. And Cordella just gave them the tools, I'm sure, when she went back downstairs, but I could hear it as she was walking away, to be able to think it through just by talking about it, and also empowering them to say, you guys should talk to one another, it's important to listen, and then how can we resolve this? How can you resolve it? Putting the responsibility back on these four-year-olds to be able to figure out what is the real issue here. And if the issue was around choice of words, I think it was something about someone said their
doll was better.
Her doll was better than yours.
Yeah.
That was such a simple thing from the adult's lens, but for a child's lens, That was their work for the day.
Yeah.
That was a lot of work for them. That's me going in and having to write a report. They were in trying to figure out how to get along with one another.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they cared enough to really try to work it out.
Yeah.
And Cordella has set up in her room sort of like this mediation conflict. I think you call it conflict.
We call it conflict resolution. Go resolve your conflict. You can go in the kitchen area, usually where there's no one, you let them go, and then you're kind of like on the side, not so much staring them down, but you can see what's going on,
just
and then they'll come back, they'll come back and say, we resolved the conflict, or we didn't resolve the conflict, can you help us, and then I'll step in.
And
that's so powerful to think that 4-year-olds can be taught these techniques that are a tool for them for their whole lives.
Absolutely. Sort of that. The thing that we find so hard today as adults is to agree to disagree and then move on.
And that's okay.
It's okay. Yes. We don't have to be in agreement. I can have my difference of opinion. You can have yours. But what we can't do is hurt one another with words, you know, or physical. Because I always tell kids when I was a preschool teacher, because I was a preschool teacher for quite a bit of the years before I started then, that we used to have a big conflict about whether or not we should allow superhero play. Right? And so kids could always explain away why they were using superhero actions and motions and aggression, the pretend weapons and things like that. But one of the things I wanted them to think about is that when you use your physical being and weapons and violence, is it always fair and evil? Well, even meaning, if we use our physical presence, if you're in conflict with someone that's smaller than you, mm-hmm. or someone with lesser of ability, that whether you're right or wrong, because you're bigger and stronger,
that means
you
kind
of
win.
Right.
Yeah.
So how is anything really addressed?
Resolve.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
That always the bigger, stronger person? Because when you think about it, you being a child, that means that when we talk or when you need my help with
yeah.
an adult, I'm always the winner. That's not true.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes me as an adult need to rethink, you know, and it happens all the time as parents, as teachers. Kids can sometimes make you rethink your
mm-hmm.
position.
Always. Always.
And I'm so happy that, as opposed to when I was growing up, but it was what your parents said, and that was it. You didn't question it. You know, children were meant to be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to hear that we're explaining ourselves. And in doing so, to a sense, when we interact with children and as we're raising children and as we're teaching children, it gives us a time to reflect. Sometimes we think that we understand something and our motives are right and all, but sometimes when you allow children to ask why, mm-hmm. it makes you rethink your position on things, because some things are just handed down to you,
right.
some thoughts, feelings, opinions, and you really don't have
an explanation right.
about it.
Yeah.
But then when you allow children to also be their authentic selves, and ask those tough questions. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a disrespectful thing. Because I know that there's also that...
A line.
exactly.
Yeah.
Like kids shouldn't question adults.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you border on a line of disrespectful. But I think that we should allow kids to
yeah.
question us. Because maybe that might... That's another piece of how we can change the world. And how we can develop in children that empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
To ask those tough questions, challenge one another. Maybe we wouldn't have so much bullying.
Right.
If kids were allowed to. Why are we not
yeah.
talking?
Yeah.
You know?
Or to be able to just resolve conflict. Like my daughter, she's in high school now. She goes to an all-girls high school. So God bless her. But, you know, we were talking to her recently about being able to resolve conflict without it being physical, without, you know, voices being raised. And it was what Cordella had said. This person that you're having a conflict with, take her to the side. And it's okay for you to ask her, why do you have a problem with me? You know, you don't know me. I don't know you. You know, maybe let's get to know each other. Or if you can tell me what your issue is with me, you know, then we could talk about it and we can get past it and maybe be friends or whatever it is. But children, they do need that fundamental,
yes.
You know, like that foundation of just
That's
being
right.
able to talk and just work things out, because it makes such a difference when they're growing up and becoming
Absolutely.
Adults.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback off of that. I have three daughters. They're all grown ups now, college graduates, two of them, one in college, and they all came through French Child Care Center. One of the things that always, always stands out about them, no matter, and each of them, they went to charter schools, they went to public schools, private school for a little bit, is that we always get that report and comment back. Your daughters are such great citizens. They're such great leaders. They're such great students. And in the context of how they relate to other students and how they role model, just being helpful, caring,
mm-hmm.
sharing, you know, and that kind of thing. And I always attribute that. I would like to say it was my husband and I. But it's that foundation from early childhood that, you know, use your words.
Yeah, you have a voice.
You know, let's stop and think. If somebody's hurt or crying or upset, let's go see how we can make them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the emphasis put here being that it's part of what we do because we're an early childhood program and it's a quality thing, but it's also more importantly a part of our culture, part of our community
mm-hmm.
as a whole, that most of our families and all that come here, we all have that motivation that we want to be parts of communities and circles of people that are working together, are in relationship. I tell people that I tour, this is not a school that you can easily just come and drop off and never make connections with other people.
Yeah.
We're engaged even from the face that you see at the front desk.
Right.
Who knows everybody's names and their quirks and which animal cracker that child likes the best.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And what are the age ranges?
So we start as young as 3 months of age, so the babies, all the way to 5 years of age or whenever they're able to go on to kindergarten. It used to be that hard cutoff that it was five, but now with the school districts having that you have to be five by September 1, sometimes we have children that are burgeoning on turning six.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to just take a quick break and hear a few words from Chris Moore, and we'll be back to ask you ladies some more questions.
You're listening to Friends on 15th, the podcast come to you from the Friends Center at 15th and Cherry Streets in Center City, Philadelphia. Friends Center is the Quaker hub for peace and justice in Philadelphia. We're home to more than 40 nonprofit tenants like the Friends Child Care Center. We also have conference and event space for your next meeting, and we always have a nonprofit discount. You're also welcome to join Central Philadelphia Friends Meeting for their Quaker worship on Sundays at 11 a.m. And now, back to Friends on 15th.
Well, welcome back. So, Cordella, I have a question for you. I want to know how your leading role as a lead teacher in the preschool has, how do you feel you impacted some children's lives, especially while they're there and when they're gone?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I mean, I've had children who have graduated from college come back, and they still remember me, surprisingly, remember some of the little things that we did. Just about 4 years ago, I had a young man who was going to Germantown Friends School, and he came back to do a service day, and he was just basically hanging out in the classroom, interacting with the kids. And he went back to school, and he did this entire essay, and he talked about, and this really had an impact on me, talked about how the money that childcare workers are paid is nothing in comparison to the work that we do with the children. And I thought, wow, this is a teenager. Yeah. And he's so observant to see all these things. And he talked about how at the end of the day, how I looked tired, but I was still going. And it was true. I was tired because I was chasing the kids around and, you know, just having fun. But it's just nice to see that they come back and they remember you. Mm-hmm. And they actually want to help out, come back and help out in any way that they can.
How many teachers do you have?
Well, our staff is about 24, 25.
I didn't realize there was so many. No.
A part of that is because one of the things that speaks to the quality of our program is our lower than required ratios, teacher-child ratios. So in our infant and toddler groups, we have more staff than what the state requires us to have. And that's why we have such a large staff. And that is in place. I'm not sure why it initiated, but I feel the importance to maintain that because that gives plenty or ample arms for hugs and laps for to sit on when you need it.
Even the quads.
And it helps us also take care of our teachers so that they don't, they're burn not out. Overly burnt out because they can share the load a little bit more than to feel so stressed that you have all these apples and oranges up in the air and how are you going to get it all done. They can sort of, they have enough support to do the work that they do.
And you have regular professional development opportunities, right, to
yes.
build your culture and your quality?
Absolutely. We have regular professional development, and we always try to do something every year around mindfulness, Quakerism, peace and equality, as well as their educational goals for our staff to improve their practice of how we, of classroom management, programming, communication with families and parents, inclusion, and being inclusive. And one of the things that, one of the areas that we always are looking for more support and more creative ways to address is inclusive practice, you know, and that's not, it's ages, its abilities, its economics, cultural diversity, religious practices. We don't shy away from celebrating any holidays. And I know growingly it's become a part of the child care engine that, we just won't talk about any of it.
Yeah.
To make it fair. But that's not how.
But maybe talk about all of it to make it fair.
That's exactly right.
I didn't think about it like that. I was disappointed when I realized that child care centers and schools stopped including those things. But instead of not talking about any of it, talk about all of it.
Exactly. Because
these are your neighbors. I'm sorry.
Exactly. And I'm sorry I didn't mean to cut you off, because that's how we develop a better understanding. Mm-hmm. And we're less afraid when someone's different, looks a little bit differently, dresses differently, speaks differently, because we've talked about it, we've celebrated it in some kind of way, and we always invite our parents, please do share those stories, share those cultural celebrations and practices, bring it into the classroom, come in, you're welcome to come in and cook, and you guys are too. You know, we're always welcome to, and we like to welcome and members of our community, you know, whether it's Friends Center, whether it's the police or the police station, some officers or the firefighters.
Yeah, that's always a big day.
We've talked about you guys actually quite a few times on the podcast. We talked about the fun that you incorporate when you have the parade. When you guys have the petting zoo, when you guys have the firefight, you guys just do so much. The quads always come and drop me off snacks and food
the
when they
quads
cook.
Are so cool.
Thank you.
I visited once and I was like, oh my gosh, these kids, I need, like, this is like a break. Like, I need to come over here all the time and chill with the quads, because if any of the parents are listening, y'all kids are amazing.
Aww,
they just were like so excited to show me every single thing that they done painted, that they done drew, and it's like, this is my family. And they were just so excited to see a new face. And after I came in there, and some students did not know my name, they, you know, they saw me around.
By the time I left,
I would be walking like down the ramp or seeing them, and they'd be like, I know her. That's Shakira. I know her. And I'm like, oh my God, these kids are amazing. How can one enroll in you guys' program? Like, can you tell us more about the application process?
Absolutely. So the process would be that you would call the office at 215-241-7011. Schedule a tour. We conduct and run our tours Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursday mornings, 9 a.m., between 9 a.m. and 12 noon by appointment. It generally takes 15 to 20 minutes to get throughout the facility. At the end of that tour, because we want to make sure you know what you're signing up for. We don't do blind sign-ups and just get your name on a list. We want to meet you. We want you to meet us and see what we do and how we do it and get a feel for our school. And once you've conducted that tour, you would complete the application. If you still have a high interest, there is a $55 fee attached to that application. Once you've completed that, our office administrator, Shannon, will then send you an email confirmation. That begins the process of you beginning the conversation, of you getting it, being able to come in at the time that you've indicated on that application. There is a waiting list. Average waiting period is anywhere from 6 months and longer, sometimes to a year. We just don't have the space. The demand is greater than the amount of space and staffing that we're able to accommodate. But we do our best to try to keep the flow going throughout the year. So we don't have hard stops for intake periods. Our largest intake period is in June. We look for opportunities, try to create more opportunities in the month of September, and then again in January. But if a family should need to exit in between those periods for whatever reason, we look to fill it right away, and we go immediately to that wait list.
So I see a lot of college students coming in asking for the child care center, and they come over, and I know they're over there doing something good, but I'm not quite sure what it is. What opportunities do you guys provide for college students?
That's a very good question. We we're always looking for internship, people that want to come in and do internships, practicums. We oftentimes are called by our area colleges, Community College of Philadelphia, Drexel, Penn. The students will call because they have to do service projects and meet service criteria or praxis. So we do, the process would be, give me a call, send your resume, a little statement about what type of program that you're, what your studies are, and then we could talk about what service would look like here at our school that aligns with what you're studying. Most of the students that come to us are in the education field, whether it's higher ed or whether it's early childhood education, and this gives them an opportunity for some hands-on time, developing activities, supervision. Believe it or not, people come to us who have never changed a diaper before or bottle fed or supported a mom in breastfeeding and those type of things. So that's all part of the learning experience. They get to watch. And one of the amazing things about our school is the tenure of our teaching staff. The average tenure of our teaching staff is anywhere from 10 to 25 years.
Wow.
You know, that's, I'm 29 stability. Years in. Wow. Cordella's, what are you, 28?
It'll be 28.
Yeah, wow. She's 28 wow. years in. I have a staff person, Michelle, who's actually, we celebrated her 30th year. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we celebrated her 30th year with us this year. It's just totally amazing. We all kind of grew up together throughout our tenure here at our school. And so that's one of the things for students coming in, because a lot of times you got to go beyond what's written in the book and actually see it in action. How do you manage 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 children at one time and meeting everybody's needs, watching what they're doing, being cognizant of where they are, anticipating the next need or when you need to make a transition? That's all by doing. You can't learn that in the book.
Right.
So we always are open to bringing in students and being a part of the process of the next generation of teachers and early educators.
One of the things our office tenants really like is the fact that the kids are out there playing in the courtyard on nice days. So can you speak a little bit about the outdoor space and what you do there?
Outdoor space is wonderful.
Amazing.
I think that's one of the big draws for parents when they come through the center. They don't realize that the kids have all this space to move out. And thank you guys for sharing your space.
Absolutely.
They like to ride their tricycles out there. They explore nature out there. And we have our little garden. Thank you for that as well. So we can plant little flowers, vegetables, and
yeah,
they can tend to that.
Yeah, you get some tomatoes in there for sure.
Yeah. Last year's crop wasn't that much, but hopefully this year we'll have a better crop.
And, you want to talk a little bit about the pumpkin you guys planted after Halloween?
Yeah, we had a pumpkin that was decomposing, so we decided to take it and put it in the ground out there, and we've been looking at it here and there, and we saw that the stem is starting to sink down lower, so we know that the pumpkin is definitely decomposing, and hopefully in the spring we're going to go back and check it to see if the pumpkin seed started sprouting.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but we love that outdoor space, and they were out there on Wednesday. They were doing their MLK Day of Service, so they all had their little blue rubber gloves out there cleaning up trash.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the help.
Yeah, the outdoor space is phenomenal, and I love just for the seasonal changes. It's so beautiful. You know, fall is my favorite. All the changing colors of the leaves and the kids getting in those piles and the opportunity before it gets them up really quickly and everything. And it's just for a child care center in Center City, the fact that we don't have to go to an area playground or park, we can just walk outside our doors in the soft misting rain, in the snowfall, in the summertime and all. It's just phenomenal. So we really appreciate the environment, the outdoor environment.
But one thing I love about your program is that you ladies do not shy away from taking the children outside and on trips. I see you going on field trips. You walk to Macy's to see the light show. You go to plays. You do visit. visit the area parks. And that's one conflict that I had about a couple of daycares that I was looking into, is that they don't, you know, they're afraid to take their children out, maybe because they don't have enough staff to, you know, child ratio. So, you know, there is, you know, erring on the side of caution. But you do want a program that will take your child out into the world to explore, you know, to see things and do things. But when they're here, you know, they set up their tent out in the courtyard.
They had a hibachi out there and a hot dog.
It was great.
They always have some good stuff. Making smoothies.
Yeah, we've had smoothies from them.
Pancakes, I heard.
Yes.
Oh, it's the pancake breakfast today.
We have our pancake pajama breakfast today. In honor of a lot of things, the new year, it's Dr. King's birthday, let's come together. And then just have a little fun, and you guys are all welcome to come over and join us without your pajamas. That's totally okay.
But Cordella's representing it with her pajamas
yes,
on.
I am. I have my Eagles pajamas. I'll go with the Eagles.
We have a Valentine's Day dance coming up February 14th.
Is this the first one, or have y'all had this before?
We have them. We have them every year. But this year, the kids and the teachers thought it might be fun if people want to dress up for it. Mm-hmm. And we'll sort of set an ambiance for it and everything and make it fun for the kids to put some lights up and things like that.
And when's your next bake sale in the lobby at the Friends Center?
The bake sale.
Coming up. Stay tuned.
It certainly is. And actually, our next bake sale isn't until February. I don't recall the date right off the hand. But sometime in the month of February, we will be in the front lobby of Friends Center, greeting all the visitors and tenants with a hot coffee, the best in the city, and homemade baked goods from that are donated from our families and everything. And we encourage you all to stop in, say hello, maybe get some information about Friends Center and the Friends Child Care Center.
And everything's a dollar, so.
Yep. Everything's a dollar. What a bargain.
And you have people who are not even tenants in the building who come looking for you. Because yes. One lady in particular, yes. She works for FedEx. And she every single time she comes, she's like, are they having a bake sale?
Like,
did I miss it? Is
she
it coming?
She wants that pound cake.
Yeah, she loves the pound cake.
And she will buy like five at a time.
We do. We have signature brownies, pound cake, Rice Krispie treats. Vegan. That people, yes.
They hit all the mark. They check all the boxes.
Yes.
Well, ladies, it was so great having you both here. We enjoyed learning more about the Friends Child Care Center. So thank you so much, Rachelle and Cordella.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, ladies.
So you've been listening to the Friends on 15 podcast from Friends Center, the Quaker Center for Peace and Justice in Philadelphia. Check us out at www.friendscentercorp.org or call us 215-241-7100 if you have any questions or you want to host an event here or some office space. Just in light of MLK Day, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., activist and leader of the Civil Rights Movement, I have two quotes for you, one that you already know and one that you might not. And it ties into our whole podcast today with the Friends Child Care Center. So, it's, I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I said to my children, I'm going to work and do everything that I can do to see that you get a good education. I do not ever want you to forget that there are millions of God's children who will not and cannot get a good education. And I do not want you feeling that you are better than they are. For you will never be what you ought to be until they are what they ought to be. So take that into consideration when you're teaching these children that you are not the only one here. Like, what you're doing, it affects everyone else. So thank you both. Thanks, Jen and Chris. This has been a great podcast. And I'll see you ladies soon.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.